just thank you for this gathering. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to minister to your servants, Lord God. And we just pray now your anointing be upon our lips, Lord God, and your anointing be upon the ears of the hearer, that everything that we say and do is in line with your will and in line with the vision that you've given, Pastor, for this local body of believers. And we just believe it's done. We just believe that we can even suppress time, that we can be able to get an hour and a half teaching into 45 minutes. We just believe that's possible. And Father God, as we minister in seed form, we just pray, Lord God, that they will be able to receive from you what you would have them to receive concerning the vision and concerning the calling that you've given them. And we just believe that's done now. In Jesus' name, it is so. And all that agree to that prayer said, amen.
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 Amen. Now, we're all about children, right?
Yes.
Okay, so number one, the seats past the clock, those are reserved for the Holy Spirit. So some of y'all in the back, y'all in the Holy Spirit seat, so y'all need to move up a little bit. The clock is on this column right here. Okay, everything that you have in your hands, put it down. And I need everybody to stand, because if we're children, we need to get into their world, because we just want to get a little icebreaker here, going with the children. If you're going to work with children, you need to do what they do, hear what they hear, and, you know, as I said, not be as children, but go into their worlds. Okay, if you can start that tape. And this is a good tape to play right after lunch. If you can turn it up, please. Okay, I need everybody to clap. And you're going to follow me. Now get into it. Okay, that's the wrong side. It should be the side with the words on it. Okay. Okay, that's it. Say no. Can you turn it up some? The first thing that you have to have is a vision. Yeah. You have to have a vision. In Habakkuk 2:2-3, it says, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run with it that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. So if you're going to develop a ministry, first of all, you need to know where you're going.
Amen.
What do you see? Now, what does the Bible say about children and ministering to them? The Bible has two institutions ordained to train children, the parents and the church. First of all, in Proverbs 22:6, it says to train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The Living Translation says to teach a child to choose the right path, and when he is older, he will remain upon it. Deuteronomy 6:6-7 reads, and these words which I command you this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and they shall talk to them when thou sittest in the house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So they're saying every place you go, you're supposed to be teaching those children about the word of God and how to walk on the right path. Matthew 28:20, it says, teach them to observe all things. Now, when it said all things, it did not say to the adults 18 and over, teach them all things. It did not list an age category. So when the Bible instructed to teach them, children were included in that. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Isaiah 54:13 reads, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Do you wonder why so much turmoil is going on in the schools, in the neighborhoods, in the home? Because the children are not taught of the Lord. So that is instructing you directly. You need to teach your children about the things of God. Because it says, shall be taught of the Lord. Now, we want the schools to teach them academics. We want to teach them how to entertain. We want to teach them sports activities. We want them to be great singers. But how many of us want to actually teach them of the Lord so that they can have peace? My professional career is in education. You've never seen so many children being counseled. Going to the counselor's office, going to the psychiatrist, stressed out. I read an article this morning, why children are so stressed. Because they're not taught of the Lord. Because it says, great peace will be of those that are taught of the Lord. Matthew 28 and 20 reads, teach them to observe all things. Again, them. It doesn't say just the adults or 18 and over. It says teach them. Children were included in that. Matthew 18 and 1 through 14. You need to read that whole chapter because it's specifically talking about ministering to children. But three particular verses, Matthew 18 and 5. And whosoever shall receive such a little one in my name receiveth me. Matthew 18 and 10, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. Matthew 18 and 14, even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. If they don't have the word of God, you're setting them up to perish. Okay, what is the vision of the past, your pastor and your church? The vision of the children's ministry should be the same as the pastor of the church. It should not be two visions. Because that's a division or a division. The vision for the children's ministry and the vision of Living Word is to equip the saints to go out into the world, thoroughly equipped with the word of God. That's the vision for the children's ministry, to thoroughly equip the saints. Now, as children's ministry leaders, how do you see the children? Do you see them as little kids or do you see them as short saints? Because once they become baptized, they have the same recognition in heaven as you do. So how do you, it makes a difference on how you minister to them if you see them as your brothers and sisters in Christ or potential brothers and sisters in Christ. Do you see the children's ministry as a ministry or as a babysitting service where you just keep the kids while the adults are in service? That's not what we do at Living Word. We're not a babysitting service. We don't do child care. We teach them the uncut word of God, the same as they get in the sanctuary. The only difference is that we give it in a way that they can receive it. Now, if you are going to have a children's ministry and a powerful and effective children's ministry, as teachers and workers, you are going to have to believe that those children can receive what you give them. You are going to have to believe that if you give them the uncut word, if you teach them about salvation, evangelism, healing, tithing, you have to believe that they can receive that word and that they can operate in that word just as adults. But you know what? Believe it or not, the children receive it better than adults because they don't have to get through all the gunk and all the garbage that we have. You can go straight to them. We don't have to clean them up and then fill it. You can just fill it and they will receive it. They're just like sponges. But when you're giving out the word, make sure you're giving it accurately because children have an innocence that they will believe whatever you say. So make sure that you are prepared when you are giving to them. And I'm getting ahead of myself. But what we have to understand, if our children are going to stand strong in this 21st century society, we need to make sure that they're committing their lives to something that is genuine, something that is true, something that is real, something that is unchanging. And the only thing that is not going to change in this world is the word of God. And that Jesus is Lord. And that's what we need to make sure that when those children walk out of here, that's what they understand, that Jesus is Lord and that the word of God is real. All right. Once you have that vision, you go to number two and you need a plan. How do you get from where you are to where you want to be? Psalms 127 and 1 says, except the Lord build the house. They that labor, labor in vain. If you don't have the Lord in the picture, you can have all the great ideas. You can have all the great plans. You can have your people lined up. But if the Lord is not in it, it will not prosper. It will not succeed. Except the Lord build the house. That's what's going to make it effective. That's what's going to make it lasting. That's what's going to, the anointing is going to be on it because the Lord has established it. Not your plans and policies. You need a curriculum, but you can't build it on a curriculum. You're going to have to let the Lord guide you, direct you, use his wisdom, use his guidance, use his instructions, and do what he says for you to do. And the way that we do that is we follow Pastor Winston as he follows God. Keep that vision and keep, because you have to understand it's not your ministry. It's not your church. It's not your hidden agenda. Is the man of God as he follows God. All right, so the plan, the primary function of a children's ministry is to teach the word of God and to teach it in a way that children can understand it. And what we call that is the McDonald's concept. And what that is when you go to McDonald's and you buy a Happy Meal, it's the same cow as the Big Mac. It's just smaller. They don't have a Big Mac cow and they don't have a Happy Meal cow. One cow. But they just give it to you in bite-sized pieces where the children can receive it. That's how you minister to children. Don't change the message. No difference in the food, just smaller. What you do is change the method of presentation. And when you are ministering to children, you present the principles, not the stories. The principle is not Daniel in the lion's den. The principle is that regardless to what situation you get in, God is able to deliver you. It's not about Jonah in the whale. It's about obedience to what God says. That's the principle. And with children, because you have to teach on their level, you use the stories, you use the games, you use the cartoons, you use the video, but you always come back to that principle. Obey the word of God. God will deliver you. Jesus is Lord. God is alive. You always come back to the principle. Now, once you have that in step, you need a curriculum. And you have a curriculum so that everyone is on one accord and of the same mind, and that you don't have, if you have 10 teachers, you don't have 10 churches going on in the children's ministry. Because 1 Corinthians 1 and 10 says that you all speak the same thing and that there are no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So, and that leaves no room for personal agendas, and it assures that everything is taught to the children in line with the word of God and with the vision of your church. Because you can get some people that here to teach some weird stuff because they heard from God. That's wonderful. When you get your church, then you hear from God. But from here, we're going along with what is the established set principles. And I'm not saying don't leave room for the Holy Spirit. But you know, y'all know him. Okay, hallelujah. I'm just going to leave it at that. And then also that you have no one wondering what to teach or how do I teach it. If you give it to them, they got it. All right, you need some standard operating procedures, and that's 1 Corinthians 14 and 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. If you have a set of guidelines that leaves no room for everybody, well, I didn't know. I thought we can do this. No, you didn't. This is what you can do. This is what you can't do. And because of the situation in our society, you're going to have some guidelines and some rules, not only to protect your ministry, to protect the church, because people are, and if you heard Pastor Yandian last night, people are suing churches. So you have to let your workers know this is what you can do, this is what you can't do. You have to put some protective measures in there. You have to follow some of the laws of the land, find out what the laws are for your state. Put those policies in place and say, you got to do this. We have a lawyer that works with our children's ministry, and he says once you write it down, every time they don't do what's in the policy, that's another zero on the lawsuit. And one of our mandates in the children's ministry here is no zeros. We do not intend for anyone to bring because of our negligence or because of someone going out to establish their own thing. We are not going to cause the king to suffer any harm because of what you are or not doing here. So get you a set of procedures. That way, again, it leaves no room for personal agendas. All are on one accord. It'll give your job descriptions. It gives the qualifications. It gives the expectations, but they are all in writing so that we're all on one accord. It'll also give the class schedules. It'll give the guidelines. It'll give rules, all in writing for all to see. Because where there is an understanding, there is no room for misunderstanding. So again, you want to make sure that you do everything decently and in order. So you have the plan. You have the vision. Now you're going to meet the people. Who do you get to help you move from where you are to where you want to be? Nehemiah 4 and 6 says, so built we the walls, for the people had a mind to work. And this is where the other half of our ministry is coming in. Brother Sylvester. Amen.
Okay, praise the Lord. As I'm positioning the mic, turn to, moving right along, turn to Luke 9 and 38. Okay, and starting, everybody know that whenever you start any kind of business or anything, you need help. Nobody, you don't find people starting things alone. Okay, Matthew 9, 37 through 38, it reads, "Then said he unto his disciples," this is Jesus talking to his disciples, "the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest." That's what you have to meditate on. This is Jesus' harvest. It's not yours. A lot of people say, well, my ministry, my harvest, my church, it's not yours. It belongs to Jesus. And you don't have to get up in arms about how you're going to get the people, because he tell you to pray, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into the harvest. You want to make sure that the Lord sent them there, and it's not somebody that wind up just being there. Okay. Concerning volunteers, you want to get the volunteers that help you. You want to get volunteers that have a servant heart. And you might ask the question, why do you want volunteers with a servant heart? You want them to have a servant heart so they won't cave in and quit. And as I go a little further into this, I'm going to get to some other part where concerning the training that they need also so they won't cave in and quit. As we turn over to Ephesians chapter 6, it's talking to us about a servant heart. Ephesians chapter 6, if you got your Bibles, let's look at verse 6 through 8. And it reads, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as unto the Lord. And not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord." Let's look at Luke 38. It's talking about, it's talking about a servant's heart here. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. And it reads, "Now it came to pass as they went," this was Jesus and his disciples again, "that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to Jesus and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her," in other words, make her come, "therefore, that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good thing, which shall not be taken away from her." You see a lot of people that are busy, 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 and they think because they're busy, they're doing the will of God, but they're not necessarily doing it. But Jesus explained to them here, Mary has chosen that good thing that can't be taken away from her. And as I was studying this, I was going through some scriptures. I was going through the Gospels, reading about how Jesus called his disciples. And let's look at Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62. It's just a page to your left. Verse 57, it reads, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whatsoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And verse 59, And he said to another, Follow me." This is Jesus calling people to send him out. "But he said, Lord, suffer me to go and to bury my father? Jesus' response was, Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. In other words, let those people do not do anything, bury the dead. And verse 61 reads, and another also said unto him, Lord, I will also follow you, but let me first go and bid farewell to which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hands to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. This is another thing. We have to select our volunteers the same way Jesus did. Jesus had the anointing on him. He knew the people that was going to follow him and the people that weren't going to follow him. And as you look at, as I was studying this, when I looked at the earlier part of this, in some of the other gospels, as he was called his first 12, immediately they left from where they were. They left the ship and followed him. But these people here, they was making all sorts of excuses and everything. That's why you have to have the anointing on you to know when a person is called and when they're not. You got to let Jesus send the laborers into the harvest. So don't you be the one to try to call them. There's no record in here that I see where they went ahead and was part of the 12 or part of the 70 that was following Jesus because they was making too many excuses. And you have to find that out. When people start making a lot of excuses, you have to check it out and find out and ask the Lord, are these people really should be here or not? Because they're making a whole lot of excuses. Okay, volunteers have to have a servant heart. Volunteers must have a heart for children. Turn to Matthew chapter 19, verse 13 through 14. And it reads, then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. We must have a heart for children, the same as Jesus did. That heart must be developed. In other words, you got to develop a passion to obey God. You have to develop a passion for children, because if you don't get that development, if you don't get that training, you're not going to stay long. And we had one suggestion in the children's ministry one time. Said, why don't you have the parents to come and volunteer in the children's ministry? But we found out just because you're a parent, that does not qualify you to work in the children's ministry. You can have a ministry, but will it be strong? And you can tell about how some of the parents train their children at home by how they react when you've been in the children's ministry for a while, as to how they act when they come to the ministry. You can tell about the training that they've gotten before they left home and came to you. So just because you're a parent, that does not qualify you to be a children's ministry worker. And another thing that's very necessary is that training. Training is absolute. You have to have that training. Take the Army, for example, our Army, the United States Army. When they sent out somewhere for war, they don't just go there. They've had at least 8 weeks of basic training, because you got to train your people. You got to train them and make sure that they know exactly what they're doing. You got to have classes and conferences and working with them to find out how much do they know about children. And one thing, I thought I knew a lot about raising children when I first joined the children's ministry. But as Pastor sent us out and sent us to different places to get training and stuff, I found out very little I knew about training children. As a matter of fact, I knew very little about it. I went about how my parents did things when we were growing up. And again, that training is so necessary. Volunteers must be God-sent. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 and 12. And it reads, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We can see from this that everybody has a different calling. Nobody has the same calling. Again, you must have volunteers that are sent by God. And when you're positioned in a place where you are going to work with the Lord, as we are labors together with God, God would always give you that unction to know who's with you and who's not. As I went over that scripture before, Matthew 9 and 37 through 38, You have to, let me read that again. I know I read it once, but he said unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the labors are few. Praise ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send labors into the harvest. So anytime you don't have enough volunteers, you have to realize that any failure that you have is a prayer failure. He tell you to pray that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send labors into the harvest. So if you're praying that God will send you labors, you're going to get them. You don't have to get up in arms about wondering where they're going to come from or who's going to send them. He will send them. Again, your volunteers must be trained and teachable. Let's look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 2. For the sake of time, I'm going to continue to read it. Romans 10 and 2, it says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Make sure you do background checks. Make sure you do that. They may have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And that's one. This is one of the things that you have to do. You have to make sure that they have background checks before they do any kind of work or come anywhere near children. The liability is just too great for you to have anybody working with you that you know nothing about. Make sure you do those background checks. And always have a training for your teacher's development. Have a development session with all your staff on a regular basis. This way, by doing this, you're going to ensure that your volunteers are equipped with tools that they need to efficiently minister to the children. You don't want just anybody ministering to children. As you notice, when pastor is here or when he leaves from here and he's going out of town somewhere and he has somebody to come here, he don't just send anybody. He sends some people that he's familiar with and some people that he know going to give you the word. And I see a lot of times that people find out that pastor's not going to be here and they're not here. But I have found out that when he's not here, he always sends somebody with a word that I need. It never failed. It never failed, not one time. Because one thing that pastor has done, since Sister Norman and I have been over to children's ministry, he has made sure that he has sent us out to different ministries that have built their children's ministry. Willie George Ministry was one of them. When we went to that ministry, it really taught us some things that, but it enlightened us with instructions. And his ministry was called Church on the Move. And looked like every time we went there one year and came back the next year, something had changed. If you didn't know that he was changing every year, you'd have a hard time just finding your way around. We really got a lot from that training of Willie George Ministries. And even though my wife had been in the ministering to children, teaching children rather, for 29 years, and then after she left that public schools, then she'd been ministering here at the school over there for 9 years. So even though she'd been through all the years of teaching and so forth, we still needed that training. Nobody is exempt from having training. You need the training. Volunteers must be honest. They must be trustworthy. They must pay attention to character. You must pay attention to character. No tithing, no working. You got to make sure that anointing is there. Because if you got people working with you that are not tithing, you're not going to have that anointing to flow like the flow. You'll be wondering what's wrong and wondering how you get all bogged down and everything, and you got people working with you that's not tithing. If they're not tithing, that anointing is not there. And another thing you have to be mindful of, when people are attempting to leave, don't try to stop them. That's a mistake that I made. And because you never know when a person is in a position that they should not be in, when God might be moving them out. And you might have thoughts going through your mind saying, well, I can't let this person go because we need them so bad in the ministry. The worst thing you want to do is hold on to a person that God is trying to send away. The anointing will lift from that ministry. You wonder what happened. You wonder why so many people are leaving and dropping out. You have to be following the mind of God. You have to be anointed for that. And as you train yourself to follow God, he will lead and guide and direct you into the way that you should go. And you won't make the mistakes. You have to worry about making mistakes if you're following him. That's the same thing that Jesus did. As you notice, when people saw him doing miracles and everything, they thought Jesus was doing that. Jesus said, I'm not doing this. He said, the works that I do, he said, my Father's doing them. I'm just following his word. I'm just following the direction he's giving me. That's why all these miracles and things are taking place. So you have to make sure when people are tempted to leave, don't try to stop them. Again, God could be moving them out. You want to be nice to your volunteers. And the way we do here at Living Words, at one while, we're not doing it right now, but we were acknowledging birthdays. By acknowledging birthdays, your volunteers, well, it's just giving them, letting them know that you really care about them. It's, you know, you got to realize you got to develop a family atmosphere because you are family. We are the God. We are the family of God. We acknowledge their birthdays and make sure that you get DVDs or CDs or whatever you have. Get them a copy of that. Make sure they get that. And that'll let them know you appreciate them helping you so you won't have no problems next time when you get ready to look for volunteers. And you have to let them know also that sometimes people be reluctant about wanting to get a DVD or something like that. They want to be in their main service. You got to let them know that the same anointing that was in that main service are on those CDs down there. I have, sometimes when I miss on Sundays or something like that, I get a CD from Sunday and I listen to it maybe 5 or 6 times. Because the word is so, it's so much inside the word of God, you cannot get all out of it. You got to hear it just over and over and over again to really get a lot out of it. Again, be nice to your volunteers. Recognize them. Communication is vital. Make sure you communicate with them. Don't let little cliques establish in it. Make sure you acknowledge everybody. You appreciate them. And that will go a long ways for you. Again, that communication is vital. I remember once my wife and I had to go to pastor for, I forgot who we went to him for, but we had some kind of problem in the ministry. And one of the things he said to me, he said, communicate with your people. And I looked at him, I said, Pastor, I'm communicating with him. He said, no, you're not. And I realized that when he said that, it sort of shook me a little bit. But I realized when I went back to the ministry and started communicating with people, that's what the problem was. You have to be able to follow leadership. If you can't follow leadership, if you got people that can't follow leadership, you can't let them stay there because they'll wind up wrecking the ministry. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, that's the end of my teaching on how to get your workers. And for some of you that may want some more information on that, I have a teaching that I did on, it's called Altar Call to Change Lives. And for some of you, if you ever come by and you want a copy of that or something like that, you'd be surprised. When you may have an altar call for a child, it's totally different from adult altar calls.
Okay, and as you can see with the last slide, if you still need a reason why I have a children's ministry, look at that face. Look at that face. Look at that. But be steadfast, unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord, for such as you know that your labor is not in vain. Teaching children will never, ever be in vain. The rewards are endless. One of the scriptures that we use, and you can write that down, and then we're going to sit down, is if you look at Matthew 18 and 10. Matthew 18 and 10, and we use this consistently in the children's ministry. Matthew 18 and 10 says, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven the angels do always behold the face of the Father which is in heaven. The Living Translation says, beware that you don't look down upon a single one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels have constant access to the Father. For adults, in Hebrews, it says that the angels hearken unto the voice of the word. So as adults, we have to give the word in order for our angels to kick in. But children, it says their angels have constant 24/7 access to the Father. So if you want something done, who are you going to get to pray for you? Somebody whose voice has to hearken, I have to say something, or somebody that has constant access to the Father. But it also says, don't look down upon them because their angels have constant access. So if you are blessing a child, ministering to a child, helping a child, their angels are going to say, Father, you see what Sister Norma did for those kids. Bless the Lord. But it says, don't despise him because his angels are saying, did you see what they did to that child? Look at that.
You never thought about that, did you? Okay, praise the Lord. One of the things that we do have is our policy manual and all of the guidelines, all of our procedures, everything is in there. So if you'd like a copy, you can see us and there's nothing new under the sun. So, you know, we got it from somebody else that got it from somebody else. And you call it a tire, we call it a wheel, but it still rolls. Take it, take our name off of it, put your name on it, and keep rolling. Hallelujah. And also, I have the cover for the CD that is back there. So if that CD, you can stop back at that table. And if there are there any questions? Mm-hmm. We just recently came back from one. There's a magazine called Children's Ministry, and if you look in that magazine, there are workshops, there are training sessions all over the world, all over the nation that we can go to. And as I said, our office is back there, and I can give you a list of all the different and training workshops and different ministries and trainings are going, as I said, all over the country. And we've just gone to those particular two because they are the foremost children's ministries in the world. So, because this one that we've gone to, they've trained Kenneth Copeland's ministry, they've trained Creflo Dollar's ministry, Rod Parsley, Lester Summerall, all of them have gone to Willie George for training. Any other questions? Willie George Ministries out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Okay, we hope you were blessed. And again, we'll be back there if you have any further. The next portion. Okay, now understand when we say children's ministry, that goes from 0 months to 12 years old. And then we pass them on to the next one, which is Pastor David and the youth. 6 months, babies to 12 years old, and then they go to the youth ministry here. So, because a lot of times people get it confused and they call the children the youth, but we have two separate departments, and now we have Pastor Winston who will train you with the youth ministry of Living Word. And again, if you have any questions, Brother Sylvester and I are in the back, and our faithful